The scripture reading is Exodus chapter 6. So the first bit is 2 to 14, and then we'll take it up at verse 25. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Then the Lord said to Moses, Go, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of this country. But Moses said to the Lord, If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips? Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron about the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he commanded them to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. These were the heads of their families.
Starting again from verse 25. These were the heads of a Levite family, clan by clan. It was this Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, Bring the Israelite out of Egypt by the divisions. They were the one who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing the Israelite out of Egypt, the same Moses and Aaron. Now, when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him, I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you. But Moses said to the Lord, Since I speak with faltering lips, why will Pharaoh listen to me? Then the Lord said to Moses, See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and for I will multiply my sign and wonder in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment, I will bring out my division, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron was 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh.
Let's pray as we come to spend a bit of time looking at that portion of God's word. Let's pray. Our Father, we prayed earlier that you would give us today our daily bread. And Father, we recognise that means physically, but also spiritually. And as we spend the next few minutes now looking at this portion of your word, Father, would you feed us? We need this nourishment for the days in which we live, for the different circumstances we face. Father, please feed us. That we would be sustained through today and into this week. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Seems that all news announcements or all responses to news announcements come through Twitter these days. Have you noticed that over the past year or so? Often, even on the BBC news, what's reported is what people have put out on Twitter, this social media platform. The former president of the United States was renowned, wasn't he, for the things he would tweet. that the comments he would make, the things he would say on that platform. But many other people do as well. They tweet. And if you set up a Twitter account, you have to put on there something of your profile. Twitter works in a way where you're limited in how much you can say in each portion that goes out, at bite-sized chunks. But then in a similar way, your profile, your summary of you, who you are, is also a sort of bite-sized chunk, a small summary, a snapshot. This is something of who I am. I can't say everything, but let me tell you something. So here's one. Husband to a patient wife. Father to five beautiful daughters. A sinner saved by grace, offered by a loving God, seeking to serve his church in Cheam. If you can recognise who that might be. A small snapshot, a brief summary, not saying everything, but saying something. And from it, maybe we can identify who it is. Well, this passage, this long passage, chapter 6 into the beginning of chapter 7, I think focuses on identity. I think that's what joins together this whole passage. Identity is the theme. The identity of God himself, the identity of God's people, and from them, particularly, the identity of the leaders of God's people. We're going to spend most of our time looking at the identity of God that's revealed. Really significant few verses. God reveals something more of who he is. And then we'll spend a bit less time, but we will follow through on the identity of God's people, the identity of the leaders of God's people. Remember Moses' misery last week, where we left him last Sunday. Things, after he'd appeared on the scene in Egypt, after he'd gone to Pharaoh, things had got worse for God's people, the Israelites. Remember, they were already slaves in Egypt. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and asked that Pharaoh let God's people go. Pharaoh said no, but more than that, he also made things harder for the Israelites. They were making bricks, but he took away or didn't supply anymore one of the ingredients. They had to go and search for the straw. They couldn't meet their quota. They were getting beaten. They turned on Moses and Aaron. Why have you made things worse? So look back with me at chapter 5 and verse 22. We pick up where Moses was, where we left him last week. Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Why, Lord, have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he's brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." Moses goes back to God and asks, "Why? What's going on? Why is this happening? Why haven't you delivered?" And last week we heard the beginning of the Lord's reply, just one verse, which leads us into what we're going to focus on this week. The Lord said to Moses, verse 1, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go." Remember, we dwelt on that last week, that Moses, Aaron, God's people were learning that this deliverance, this rescue, this being taken out of slavery, it wasn't in any way going to be down to their work, their hands. No, they'd be left in no doubt. This was God's work, God's mighty hand. But then God goes on and he reveals to Moses a bit more about himself. We're going to focus on that first of all today. Something of God's identity. Who is the Lord? And we'll see three things that God says. Verse 2, God says to Moses, "I am the Lord, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. The Bible is a sort of increasing revelation of who God is. As we work our way through the Bible, we find out more and more about who God is and what he's like. And here in Exodus, we're only in the second book of the Bible. And God says here in Exodus chapter 6, you know, I've only revealed so much about myself so far. But now I'm revealing more. In fact, to Moses he says, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, El Shaddai. They knew something of who I was. Something of my power. But I'm revealing more to you. Remember God when he appeared in the burning bush in chapter 3 and he spoke to Moses there and he said something of who he was. He was the Lord. He revealed that name. I am who I am. The Lord, Yahweh. And here we get a little bit more of who is the Lord. This is really important for Moses in his misery. Can he trust God? What is God like? Is he really going to help? Is he really going to act? And actually, this is really important for us. Different circumstances we're in. Different conversations we might have. Can we trust God? What do we say and think he's like? Well, look at what he says, verse 6. Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Notice those verses, that statement is at the beginning and the end. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Everything in between is revealing something of who the Lord is. One author described these verses as a marvelous necklace of promises. Now God says 7 times through those verses, I will, I will, I will. Well, those 7 things, we're going to turn into 3, because I think they hinge around 3 things of who God is and what he's like. The first is this, God rescues. God rescues. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. As God reveals his character, he reveals himself as a God who rescues, who sets free. That author who spoke of this being a necklace of promises. Well, let's sort of take that imagery and turn it into, instead of a necklace, maybe a bracelet, maybe a Pandora's bracelet with charms. 3 charms we're going to look at and hold on to. The first one, this key to set free, to rescue, to unlock the chains. I will bring you out. I will free you. I will redeem you. This is who God is. This is at the very heart of his character. He is a God who rescues, who sets free. I said earlier that the Bible gradually reveals more and more about who God is and what he's like. Here we are in Exodus and we get this insight, this snapshot, really important for Moses. And what's promised then happens. God's people see that this is what God's like. He does rescue them. And as the Bible goes on, we reveal with a bit more clarity, more detail, in brighter, more vivid colours, who God is and what he's like. And this characteristic of being a God who rescues gets clearer. Seen ultimately in the Lord Jesus, who reveals God fully to us. Jesus' name means God saves. That characteristic, that quality seen more fully in the Lord Jesus, God came to rescue. It's who he is. I wonder if someone asked you, what is God like? Perhaps they wouldn't ask you that question. Perhaps the question would be a bit more, why are you a Christian? Or why do you go to church? Or why do you watch church on your television or on your computer? Why are you a Christian? Well, maybe an answer could be something like, well, let me tell you what God is like. This is why I'm a Christian. Let me tell you what he's done for me. He's rescued me. He's broken me free from things I was enslaved to. We thought about that term, that metaphor last week, didn't we? And we can be enslaved to all kinds of things. Have you known something of God's freedom coming into your life? Setting you free. Perhaps it was enslavement to a job, or enslavement to people-pleasing, or enslavement to self-centeredness. There's a hymn we've not sung today, but it says this: long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray, I woke, the dungeon flamed with light, my chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Is that your story? If you're a Christian today, if you're trusting in Jesus, do you know something of that freedom that God has brought into your life? God is a God who rescues. Secondly, God is a God who loves. What is God like? He loves. Look at verse 7. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. That kind of language is sort of marriage language, covenant language in that sense. The covenant is in view through these verses. God has said to Moses that he established his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. We've seen how the light of the covenant, if you like, shines forward into Exodus. That's what Moses' family were holding on to, this promise. They would be freed. But here, that covenant sort of focuses on the relationship. And again, we've seen that already, haven't we, through Exodus, that God is saving his people for relationship. I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. That's the kind of language used when I've stood here and a man and a woman are getting married to each other. I will take you to be mine. I promise that commitment to you. And amazingly, God is making that promise to people. The Israelites here, I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. Again, if we go through the Bible, we see that theme unpacked more and more. The idea of God as husband and Israel as his wife, often an unfaithful wife. But God remaining faithful to her, committed to her. Faithful to his covenant promise. And again, if we go into the New Testament, Jesus revealing this even more clearly to us. One of the pictures Jesus gives us of himself is of the bridegroom. the church as the bride, and still that commitment. Ephesians chapter 5 picks that up as talking to husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That commitment, I am yours, you are mine. God is love. The New Testament goes on to tell us. And here in Exodus, we see that beginning to be revealed. God is love, committed self-sacrificially to his people. Again, would you describe God in this way? My guess is probably we would. If someone asked us, what is God like? We'd often go to this quality, this characteristic. Well, God is love. But then the question is, do I know that personally? As I share this with somebody else, can I say that to someone? You know, I'm a Christian because God loves me. I've come to know that and understand that. It's amazing, isn't it? God, the Creator God, loves me. How do I know that? Because Jesus laid down his life for me. You know, the passage in the Bible that says God is love in 1 John chapter 4 tells us how God showed his love. By Jesus coming and laying down his life as a sacrifice for our sins. God has taken me to be his own. I belong to him. He is committed to me. He's not far off or distant or impersonal. He loves me. What is God like? He rescues. He loves. Thirdly, he gives. He gives. Look at verse 8. I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Those faithful Israelites might have held on to this promise that had been given to Abraham. That land of Canaan that Abraham had been in, that God had promised to him, that God had said, it's not going to be your descendants yet. You're going to go into another land and be treated as slaves and be there for 400 years, but I will bring you out. And then this land will be yours. But I guess with every blow of the Egyptian whips, that dream was fading for the Israelites. The promised land, Canaan, could it really be ours? Well, God says, yes, it will be yours. And notice again just how that's described. Not something that the people would have to earn, but something given to them as a gift. Again, it's God's character being revealed. That's the point here. I am the Lord. Remember that repeated phrase. That's what's either side of what's being described. What's being promised. I will bring you to the land. I will give it to you. What is God like? He is a giver, isn't he? He is a generous giver. Again, as we work our way through the Bible, the revelation of the Bible, we see this in part here as God promises to give the land to this people. And then we see it sort of clearer and clearer as we work our way through. And the Lord Jesus, who gave himself to his people, who gives us one another as brothers and sisters. What a strength and encouragement that has been through lockdown, still the connectedness with each other. He gives gifts to the church. And again, we've seen the blessing and benefit of that as different people with different skills and abilities contribute in different ways. And he gives us, or promises to give us, something better than this promised land. The new creation that we've been thinking of through the kids' talks over the past few weeks. A place of no more pain or mourning, no more death. A place where we will be with God forever. The promised land. And all of this, not through us earning it, not through us being good enough, not through us qualifying by our own means, but by his grace given to us. So someone asks you, why are you a Christian? Why do you go to church? Well, let me tell you what God is like. This is why. He's a God who's rescued me. He's a God who loves me. He's a God who gives so much to me. Maybe that conversation might happen in the next few days. Maybe there's conversations we might have with each other where, again, we need to look back to truths like this or point each other to truths like this. Remember the context. Moses was miserable. He was doubting God's goodness, God's power, God's promises. And so God was revealing these things to encourage him, to encourage his faith, his trust. Perhaps in conversation with one another over the next week, perhaps one of us is ill and it's really affecting us. Perhaps we need someone else to just remind us still of who God is. God hasn't changed in that illness. He's still a God who rescues, who loves, who gives. His promises haven't changed. Perhaps the stress and strain of home life are bringing you down, bringing you low, working from home, juggling schooling at home. You're weary. Maybe starting to question or doubt who God is, perhaps straying in our hearts elsewhere for relief, for hope. And so again, a conversation we can have with each other. Let's hold on to who God is. He hasn't changed. He still rescues, still loves, still gives. I am the Lord. And this is who the Lord is. Well, Moses reports all this to the Israelites, verse 9. But they didn't listen to him. They've lost their trust in him. They've become discouraged because of the beatings, the harsh labor they're facing. And then the Lord says to Moses, verse 10, go and tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, go back to him. Say to him again, let my people go. But Moses says, well, if the Israelites won't listen to me, why will Pharaoh? And then we get this sort of strange interruption in the flow of the narrative if we're following through the chapter. Look at verse 13. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron about the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he commanded them to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. And then suddenly and seemingly randomly, we get this family tree. Verse 14. These were the heads of their families. Why is this here? We want to follow the narrative, don't we? We want to know what happens. Is Moses going to go and see Pharaoh or not? Are these promises going to happen or not? But suddenly these lists of people. Well, I think what's happening is we're being shown here, look, we've seen something of who God is, who the Lord is. Here's a reminder of who God's people are. But then with a particular focus on who are the leaders of God's people? So, as this family tree is read out, it begins with the sons of Jacob. Remember, that was the family that came to live in Egypt. This is who the Israelites are. They are descended from Jacob. His 12 sons, the 12 tribes as they would become. And so it starts with the eldest of Jacob's sons, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn son of Israel, were. And then the second of Jacob's sons, verse 15, the sons of Simeon. And then the third of Jacob's sons, verse 16, the sons of Levi. But we don't hear of any more of Jacob's sons. No, it now just zooms in on Levi. Well, here are God's people. Here's the identity of God's people. It's the Israelites. It's Jacob's family. Here's who they are. These are the ones who are going to be brought out of Egypt. But in particular, the spotlight, if you like, is zeroing in on Levi's family. These were the names of the sons of Levi according to their records: Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Levi lived 137 years. And then we get the next level down. So of the sons of Levi, who were their children? And then it homes in again. Verse 20, to Amram. And then we get a strange detail, which sort of, if this had been later in the Bible story, we would have been flagging up, well, there's something not right here, because the law, when it's given later in Exodus, would say against this. But verse 20, Amram married his father's sister, Jochebed, who bore him Aaron and Moses. Amram and Jochebed, we've met them already, haven't we? Back there in chapter 1 of Exodus. And Amram's children, Aaron and Moses. And then the focus, the spotlight, then follows Aaron, which perhaps is a surprise. We thought Moses was the hero. But no, the spotlight goes to Aaron. Aaron married Elisheba. And we hear of Aaron's children. And then one of his sons, Eleazar, verse 25. And we hear of his son. Why this zooming in to Moses and then to Aaron? What's going on? Well, look at verse 26. It was this Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, "Bring the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions." They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. This same Moses and Aaron. You see, it's sort of showing this is who it is. Here's the identity. It's the identity of God's people, but here's the identity of the leaders. And particularly, perhaps particularly for Moses' sake, perhaps for the people's sake, this is Aaron. Aaron, who would act as Moses' mouthpiece. Remember, that's Moses' complaint just before this family tree. Verse 12. If the Israelites won't listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips? And the same thing is said just the other side of the family tree. Verse 30, Moses said to the Lord, "Since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me?" Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet." He's the mouthpiece. Moses and Aaron, the leaders of God's people. Aaron's credentials, if you like, laid out here. Again, the Lord tells Moses what will happen. Gives us a trailer of what's going to take place over the next few chapters. I will do this. I will bring you out. And Moses, it seems, reassured by the presence of his brother to speak with him, for him, reassured by the promises, the identity of the Lord. We read this. Chapter 7 and verse 6. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. They were faithful. Would have been easier not to, wouldn't it? They'd already been turned down, turned away. Life had already got harder for the Israelites. Moses could have been very tempted to run away again, like he had years and years before. But they're faithful. They do as the Lord says. I think, taking heart from who the Lord is, what is revealed of his own character, his rescue, his love, his gifts. May we be faithful to him this week in the things he gives us to do, remembering his character. Let's pray before we listen to our final song. Our Father, we thank you that you haven't left us to guess, to try and work out, to invent what you're like. But you have revealed yourself to us. Father, would you help us to hold on to these truths of who you are this week? May we share them with each other by way of encouragement to keep trusting you. May we share them with others who don't yet know you, that they too might come to know what you're like. We thank you that you rescue us. You've done so through the Lord Jesus. We thank you that you love us. Oh, help us to love you more in response. And we thank you that you give to us. Keep giving to us. Father, help us to keep receiving from you this week. Help us to hold on to your promises of what you will give to us in the future. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.